woke up with her name on our lips. That's right, Aussie dance pop diva Joanne drops by to talk all about her journey from singing schoolgirl to Jackie, the wild world of 2000s pop and how music shaped her life. Are you ready for Joanne? Coming up on Uncensored Radio.
Hi out there, everyone in UCR land. Welcome to a very special little show we have today. As you can see, I have Luke, who is just always here, but we have the wonderful Miss Katie Underwood. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hi. Good morning.
She's I'm here.
So, I'm refreshed.
So it's a special day already. Oh, she's released. We're going to talk more about that in a second. But guys, I have a confession to make.
Go.
I am busted, okay? I woke up with her name on my lips, and now I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. She is so damn fine. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everything in between, are you ready for the one and only Joanne? Woo!
That is the best. Best
good morning,
intro
Joanne.
I have ever had in my life.
Well, welcome to Uncensored Radio, amazing. Joanne. Thank you so much for joining us. We're super excited.
I am so happy to be here. And oh, that intro, like, I need to steal that. Everyone needs to
record it
like that. That's great.
we can do a record for you, and you can play it at the live shows and stuff. You're like, yes, Joanne's
perfect.
Here. Now we have to talk about it because it's news today, right now at this hour. Melbourne has been set free after 263 days. You ladies can have a life again. We'll have to start with Joanne because she's our guest of honour. How does it feel to have freedom?
Well, it's strange. Like, it's exciting, the fact that I can just get in my car and, you know, Katie, if I want to come see you, I can come see you and it's fine. But it's also really odd too, because there's a part of me that's like, is this real? How long is this going to last for? So, look, I am going to make the most of it. I cannot wait to eat in a cafe. That is going to be very exciting. I've missed my breakfasts and brunches. And just to see people. You know, having that distance has been really hard.
Bit of connection's always nice. Miss Underwood, I'm sure you're thrilled to be back to normal life as well.
Oh, look, I am, but a bit like Joanne, it's sort of hard to believe it. We've been locked down so many times here in Melbourne, and often quite suddenly and unexpectedly. So I think for me, I'm reserving my excitement for a few weeks until it actually stays open, because, you know, as far as I can tell, could be 5,000 cases next week and they'll go, right, well, that was fun, back down in, you know, like, so look, I'm happy to be back. At least I can see my clients. My children will be back at school full time in another 2 weeks. So in truth, until they're back 5 days a week, I won't really be free. But I'm a lot happier to, as Joanne said, be able to go and visit people or have some people in my home for dinner. That's really what I'll be focusing on for the next few months, I think.
Yeah, a bit of reconnecting with the real world, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, absolutely.
Ooh. Now, this show has been amazing. A long time in the making. We're very excited. This is obviously going to be like, if you are an elder millennial, as we call ourselves, this is going to be your pop dream. It's like, I've had a big like pop flashback to like the late 90s, early 2000s, and we've got two of you right here. So I have so many questions to ask and so many, all the feelings about everything. So obviously, Joanne is our guest of honor, and we have to know, obviously, you started out at a very young age training, I would guess, from what we see of you back in the day, dancing, singing and giving it all. Can you tell us a little bit about how you came to be, you know, the Joanne?
Oh, well, how do I explain? So being creative was always a part of my world. I'm a very beautiful family who encouraged me to be artistic and creative. So, yeah, I did dance for a majority of my childhood. I played musical instruments. The voice, though, was something that came later. I'd always sang. I'd sang since I was two or three. I thought everyone sang you know, I was always singing around the house. My family always sang. And it really was only when I was about 14 or 15 that I was singing at this party. This is truth. This is raw truth here. I'm at a house party. I'm in my cross-colored jeans. I'm like, you know, having the time of my life. And someone, I was singing along and dancing, and someone actually kicked accidentally the plug from the CD player. And I'm belting at the top of my lungs, singing, you know, whatever I was singing. And all I remember was everyone turned around and looked at me, and my best friend just went, oh, like, and she said, you can sing. And I was like, no, no. And at the time, just to give you some context, I used to rap. So I was sort of known as just rapping and dancing and stuff like that, but no one knew I could sing. And I was sort of mortified by all this attention. And what ended up happening was that I got blackmailed. One of my homie G's decided that it would be appropriate to say to me, look, school talent course is coming up. You're entering it. You're joining our crew. You're going to sing. And if you don't do it, we're going to tell that guy that you like him. And the thought of just like right. No way. Like, I will sing in front of people, but you are telling that I like him. I had my first taste of singing in front of people, and it was amazing. It was amazing. I remember singing En Vogue and singing Ain't No Sunshine and a bit of Mary J. Blige. And it was all over from there. And so that was like, what, I was 15, so that's like year 9. And then first time, that was a bizarre experience. It was kind of like one of those things where I really believe that God opened that door, because I literally was in my school uniform looking like a complete nerd. And a friend of mine took me to this recording studio so I could see what it looked like. And I ended up getting behind the mic, and someone was kind enough to say, do you want to see what it feels like to sing behind a mic? And I'm just singing a cappella, singing like, oh, this is so cool. And the manager and the producers called me. Like, that was like Thursday. And I'm in year 12, and they'd called me and had said, child, we've got a gift. Like, do you want a career? And I was like, oh, my gosh, you know. So it was bizarre. It's one of those things where I think about it all the time. And there's been plenty of things that have happened for me like that where the opportunity has been given. I've worked very hard when I've gotten it, but it's kind of like it's aligned sometimes, and I feel like there's little angels doing stuff all the time. So that was how I got to where I got in the beginning.
Wonderful. Katie Underwood, that is very spookily similar to you, your party, like, admissions as well, breaking it down in parties.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Similar story. Yeah, it was a friend who encouraged me to get in the studio and put my vocals down after hearing me at parties, but I didn't quite get the superstar uptake from the manager and producer. That's golden.
That doesn't happen, right? That doesn't happen.
No, that's just right. Craziness. That sounds like something out of a movie. So, right. Yeah, no, it's wonderful to hear Joanne's story.
So on that note, Joanne, so obviously your first single was Jackie, and it just blew up. Like, how did Jackie come about? Because I knew there was the British version, and I only just realised that's where the BZ comes from. BZ was from Blue Zone.
Yeah.
But how did all that come about where you released the single? And
So George Papapetros is the producer that was behind Jackie, and I was working on I started doing solo stuff and was working on R&B. That's where my roots were at the time. And what happened was that George had told me that he was doing this song called Jackie, and it was a cover, and sort of explained the history of the song. And I believe that they'd had females coming in to lay down some demos, and it something just wasn't sitting right with it. And I think at the time, because I didn't know the song. I couldn't remember the song. My older sister knew the song, and he played it to me. I woke up with your name on my lips. And then I remember turning around and being like, oh, you know what? I feel like it needs this. Like, I feel like if you're going to sing it, you kind of sing it like this. And I remember just singing something. And bearing in mind, he and I had been working together for a time at this point. And I just remember he looked at me and said, oh, it's you. You're meant to sing the song. And I remember just being like, oh, no, I'm a serious R&B artist, you know, like, you know. And my manager was like, no, the voice, your voice is your voice regardless of what you sing. So, you know, you can tell this story in this song. And so I was like, you know what, this could be fun. But that what they told me, though, what we all thought, we thought this was going to be an underground 12-inch vinyl release.
Mm-hmm, and I'm thinking,
okay, you know, like, you know, so it got on vinyl. It was played in the clubs. And what happened was some of those DJs that also were on radio, now they start playing radio. Then people start calling up the radio station to say, where can I buy that song? So all I remember is I was in Brisbane on holiday with one of my friends and I get this call and it's my manager saying, so remember how I've told you that sometimes in life doors open and you just have to kind of walk through them? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, so, you know, that song I was ever really going to hear was just going to be this 12-inch vinyl release. I'm like, yeah. He said, we have to release it as a single because there's demand. You need to come back. We need to do a quick photo shoot. We need to throw a video clip together. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, and that was it. And it happened so quickly. I can't even describe how quickly everything happened. Bizarre circumstances. Absolutely.
Because it ripped, up the chart straight away, didn't it?
And it was like everywhere. It was everywhere. For years it seemed like, and then it would fade away for a bit, and then it would come back and be everywhere again. It was just such an iconic song. What year was that song released then in full?
1998. So it was released And then by 1999, it had been recorded as the highest selling single of that period. So when I was in the moment, I knew the song was popular. Obviously, I'm paying attention to the arts. I know what's happening. But, and maybe, Katie, you can probably relate to this. When you're in the moment doing it and you're young, you don't have any concept of how massive it is, even though you're in it. It's really bizarre. And it's only now that it's so many years later and I perform the song now that I suddenly sit back and go, oh, my gosh. I was a small part of Australian music history in some way, and, you know, this song means something. It means so much to people.
And it's still such very an iconic thing, song. But I think that's what it is. When a song's that massive and is a hit for months or even years at a time, it really captures a person's, you know, it's a snapshot in their lives. It's a bit like when you smell a certain scent and memories come flooding back, I think, for people when they hear a certain song from that period in their life and suddenly they remember, oh, that's the year I moved out of home, or that's when I moved to Melbourne or Sydney, or that's when this happened and that's when that happened, and they forever have this really strong attachment to your song and that point in their life. And no doubt that the Jackie was just such an iconic lyric and song. I still, like, it was
kind of like, it's pop magic though, isn't it? It just had every single ingredient that's there. Like, I played it for my four-year-old because, you know, I was like, we're going to talk to this singer, and so I played it for her, and she's now obsessed with your song. She's obsessed. She's like, can we play Jackie?
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it's just got that
kids
magic
love
there.
That song.
Oh, I know, they can bang.
Yeah,
oh, she
kids
was
love
doing
that
it.
Song. They're always, yeah, there's I don't know how many dance routines, and, you know, I've seen it. But you're right, though, that the songwriter behind Jackie is Billy Steinberg, and he actually was responsible for writing, you know, True Colors, Eternal Fame. Wow. The Bengals. I think he might have done Like a Virgin as well. So look, he knows how to write a pop track. Like, the guy knows what he's doing.
And great pop never dies. I think that's the thing. Decades can pass as they have, and it's still just as strong now, I think, than it ever was.
Definitely. You've discovered that in the last 12 to 18 months, Katie.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't want to make this interview about me. We've done me.
Is it? This is why I love that you can both be on at the same time, because it was such a moment in Australian pop music. We actually had Australian pop music for the first time in ages, and for the last time in ages, we had a thriving Australian pop music industry where we had someone like Joanne who was old school, who had done the training and had, you know, fallen into it and got developed and record produced. And then we have something like Pop Stars come along that makes that whole process happen in the blink of an eye. It's kind of like this really weird generational change that happened in 4 years. I think by like 2002, things had changed completely, and we were, Australia had turned, for better or worse, turned into an American market where we, everything we consume comes through an American filter music wise. But you guys were smashing it, and we were talking about the Arias. Let's talk about that night, because mate,
with Islander, that talk, was amazing.
We're gonna talk about it. Yeah, we're gonna talk about it more later, but you get credit where credit is due, Joanne, because to sing your songs live and do choreography, that's crazy. Like, talk about that, because that's insane. Belting at the top of your lungs and yeah, going for it. I can't.
Look, I find it hard to perform and sit still. And I recall the first time I had to sit on a stool and do an acoustic gig at my feet, and I was still dancing on my chair. I feel the beat in my soul and in my being. I don't know how to not move around. So, you know, when, and I think anyone that's learned choreography, and I guess if you have a dance background and a good stamina, and obviously I'm 100% live, so it's all about the stamina. So I will learn the choreography to the best of my ability, and then I will make it my own, because for me, I don't want the vocals to slip. But at that point, I felt like I had so much to prove. I knew that there was, that the voice wasn't mine. I had my first ever big radio interview that I'd ever done. They put me on the spot and said, "Are you just the face for the song?" And I was thinking, man, if you were going to get a face, you'd get a model. You wouldn't get me, you know. And
it's so harsh.
They put me on the spot. I think that I was lip syncing. So I was very confident, and I said, "Well, I can sing for you now if you're an a cappella." So I kind of felt that, you know, I felt like maybe I wasn't going to be taken seriously in that forum. I don't know, maybe it was being young. So as soon as they said, "You're performing live on the Arias," I was like, yeah, bring it. Because I felt like I was young. It was a poppy song. I was like, you know what? If I'm going to leave my mark with anything, it's going to be a high energy performance, and I'm going to sing live. People don't have to like the song, but I'm going to do what God wanted me. And that was it. To win and perform on this ridiculous. Like, insane.
It's crazy, though, because, yeah, like, anyone that's tried, everyone thinks that, oh, singing and dancing, how hard could it be?
Yeah, anyone really that hard. Is actually, I can tell you.
Anyone, really anyone that's actually tried it, you got to work hard to make that vocal consistent, and especially when, look, Joanne's not, you know, Joanne is not Britney Spears. Joanne is singing the house down, like, sang and going crazy, like,
oh,
and
I can't then just like
breaks
it.
Breaking into the Corey. I'm like, yes, bitch, you work that out. I'm just like, but I'm playing my cards too early, because I'm trying to go in chronological order, but we'll talk about it later. But from Jackie, you were still trying out different flavors and stuff to get towards the album, right? We had, of course, "Are You Ready?"
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Which was my first single I bought from you, Joanne, because I missed, when I finally found Jackie, I was like, I can't buy it anywhere. It wasn't for sale anymore. And I was obsessed with Jackie. So then from there on, I've got every single. I was like, bang, bang, bang. So "Are You Ready?" was my first one.
And you kept
the dance. Yeah, because I think they put Jackie on there as a bonus track, didn't they?
They know how to peddle a good thing, don't they? It's like, we'll just tag this on and remix it and go again, and it'll be good to do. And then we also had "Pack Your Bags." Now, I saw a very interesting performance. You did not stop moving. Like, you were on every show. Like, I've looked on YouTube, and I'm sure it's only half of them. And Katie will probably relate to this as well. Back in the day, you didn't just go on social media and go, oh, my new single's coming out, this is it. You were on a morning show, morning radio, lunchtime show, lunchtime radio, do another radio in the afternoon, go do a promo performance, and then, you know, get ready for the next day. Do you guys think that they've got it a lot easier these days? Pop stars, they're like, oh, social media, I've got a team, I'll do that.
I'll let Joanne answer that one first.
I don't know if they've got it. Yeah, I think we're both going to have very interesting things to say about this. I think for me, I don't know if they've got it easier. And the reason why I say that is that, you know, when you are in a position to know how to connect with people and really connect, build a rapport with people, and to be able to meet people in person, and this comes down to the beautiful music supporters, the fans, but also even just, you know, the managers at the music stores, you know, the record label people, all that kind of stuff. Learning those skills is so important. So as much as I admire this new generation, and let me tell you, I can learn a thing or two. I am terrible with social media. Like, if I got nothing to say, I say nothing. And I look at all these kids and they're like, bam, 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 bam. And I'm like, I should think of something to say. But I think that it's got to be that balance. That's what my thoughts are. What do you think, Katie?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think they have it. I don't know whether it's easy and harder. It's probably an oversimplification. I think it's that the emphasis is on different things now. I mean, pop always got a bad rap because it was always considered to be more commodified than artist-driven. And I think mistakenly, as you touched on with that radio guy who assumed that because you're not a singer-songwriter, because you're not the songwriter, that suddenly that means you don't have any talent of any description. And as we've established, singing in itself is an incredible talent. Dancing is a talent. Doing it together is phenomenal. And then, of course, you've got work ethic and live performances and the whole thing that goes with that. So I think unfairly in Australia there's this stigma around people, oh, if you don't write the songs, you're not a proper artist. I think that's bullshit. But as for how the social media climate has changed things for kids, I think unfortunately for them, even more so than 20 years ago when it started to shift towards fame being the game rather than the artistry itself, I think that the thrill of exposure seems to be more of a priority than people really perfecting their craft and concentrating on being a great singer, dancer, maybe both, actor, whatever it is that you're doing, skateboarder, and actually really concentrating on that skill set rather than just trying to get attention by saying crazy things or controversial things or endorsements and, you know, how many makeup new tutorials do we really need online, you know? So it's not better or worse. I think it's different. But, you know, having said that, people with really amazing skills still seem to cut through. You know, it's the difference between getting 1,000 views and 1,000,000 views. You know, it's that whole thing of what causes something to go viral. You know, someone has to either be really good at what they're doing or just really funny or stupid is an unfortunate other thing. It's just different. There's so many different pieces in motion now with how you promote something. But I think it is a shame there's not as many opportunities for live performances for artists. I wish that they
That's
had
what I was gonna bring
more
up.
chance to do that. And I think that they would willingly and happily do that if there were more events, more television variety shows that weren't just the typical reality TV show production. It seems like that's the only place people can perform now. And if they want to do that, they have to literally sign their lives and their careers away to get the chance to get on that stage. And I don't think that's fair, but, you know, don't get me started about reality TV.
We are going to talk a little bit about reality TV later.
Man.
But, yeah, that's the point I was actually going to get to. We back in the day that you guys were both, you know, working it out hardcore, there were all these options. You had shows like, you know, Bert Newton in the Morning where you could go on and go, hey, this is my catch the kids before they go to school, and then go, mum, pick that up on the way home. Or even, like, even the radio show. I remember, oh, here we go, dating ourselves, sitting there waiting for certain songs to come on with my tape in the tape player and whacking the record play, like getting there because, you know, it's not out yet, so you still got to have it. And I know that I had a couple of Joanne songs and I definitely had Bardo Poison when it came out. Like, I was like, got to get it because we didn't live near the shops. So we got there. But then there is this lack of any kind of anything in Australia. You can't perform really on, like, the project. Like, so there's not really.
And that's why a lot of the singers that went on The Masked Singer, like, they had all these big names this year. And they all said it was because they missed performing. Yeah. It was not about anything else other than they just love to be on stage and to sing live. And I think that is a big thing that's missing in a lot of these newer artists as well. It's like, do you actually have a love and a passion for this, or is it about the fame, you know?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think I would welcome back the version of an evening show, whether it's like a Hey Hey It's Saturday or even Rove. You know, he created a forum and other various evening kind of late night shows, I think, would be a welcome addition. You know, America seems to have them in spades, and in Australia there just doesn't seem to be that platform anymore. So hopefully in this new era of resurging pop, maybe we'll get to see some variety shows coming back again.
So what I wanted to talk to you about, Joanne, a lot of, especially at this time, we were, as Katie is, you know, evidence of, entering the reality TV show where things were handed to acts and go, this is your single, this is this song, this is this song, this is what's going to be on the album. Your debut album has a lot of co-writes from you on it. And I don't remember anyone else on their debut album having that much input. Was that really important to you, making sure that your voice was authentically heard on your stuff?
I was very fortunate. What actually happened was is that when I was, before Jackie, I would say I was that kid sat in her room writing songs. Funny raps, maybe. But what I thought happening was my management and production team were very much of the opinion that give songwriting a go, let's see what you come up with. Because you're creative, we want to see what you come up with. And their views, think of your market, Joanne. Your market is going to be the pop market. You're young. It's got to be fun. And what had happened was when I was doing all my R&B, I was influenced by everyone that I was listening to, that I was writing maturely. So I wasn't writing honestly when I was, you know, 18 and 17, because I was trying to be something that I wasn't. And so with Jackie being the type of song it was basically a case of, right, where do you go? And so with songs like So Damn Fine, you know, I was like keeping it light, keeping it fun. I wrote So Damn Fine in my boyfriend's bedroom sitting on the floor. And, you know, it was written in up-tempo R&B back in Italy. Then we switched it with what it is today. I don't know, it was written for emotion. That was actually based on truth of how I was feeling at the time. You know, Busted was actually, yes, it's a cheating song. That I actually was a therapeutic moment, because I had been cheated on. Man, if I wrote what really happened and the real truth, oh my gosh. So it was more having a sense of humor. It's like, how can I have a sense of humor about something that really hurts? And that was how I wrote Busted. So I was very lucky. I had creative freedom with what I wrote, what I said, and vocally. Where I lacked probably a bit more control was the final product of a lot of the songs. And I guess when you've had a song take off the way Jackie did, there's that push to try and, you know, you've got to push for that market, push for that radio play. So some of the songs were written in a certain format, whether it was a piano ballad, whether it was this, whether it was that. And, of course, they got, you know, sped up like a chipmunk, you know. But I was very lucky to have so much creative control with the writing on the album, and ultimately that was what I wanted. And look, they're smart too. You know, if you're going to input and create, you're going to be rewarded. That was their whole thing. Like, why would we, you know, why take people's songs when you can try and write your own? So
exactly. And it's like a little time capsule of your life at that time that you get to revisit whether you want to or not. It's just like, oh, okay, I get to sing this again. But we were talking about it. You had a string of back-to-back smashes, like Islander featuring Joanne. Come on. I remember that song being everywhere as well.
Yeah.
And it was his tip from maybe, it was
that
from
was
the Wonk
a great
boy,
collaboration.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was from the Wonk boy. So I remember being in the studio one day and obviously me and the boys were under the same management, and Nick Giannopoulos had come in, and I think the initial idea was they wanted me for a track and they wanted the boys for a track. And then in going through all of some song suggestions, this was one of the songs that had come up, and it just kind of made sense and it worked.
It's so like we did the tacos app. Why not both? why not both?
But I think, yeah, your music was around a lot because I back in my previous life, I was a dancer. I'm still a dance teacher. But I just, these songs, like I hear these songs, like, oh my God, I remember I made one of my first dance classes, which was all boys, dance to that. It was a mashup of So Damn Fine and something else. I can't remember what it was. It was like three songs. It was So Damn Fine. It was Mystique and it was... Oh, I can't remember something else. Oh, they were like, them. Oh, we're doing this. I'm like, yeah, this is happening. We're dancing to Joanne. Like,
I love it.
It's good when you got the power. But they were great. It was a great show. But, yeah, so we were talking about Busted, of course. So Damn Fine. And I'm going to play my cards right now. This is my favorite song of yours. I love I Don't Know. It is my jam. It's like the way I think of it is like it's the song you get on the dance floor too when you've had like that one too many drinks. You're like, oh, I miss him, but I'm gonna dance. Like I'm gonna dance my heartbreak away. And it hits. It still hits, Joanne. I love it.
I think the thing I remember from that time
it's
too
been
is
interesting
that...
because that's the song.
You go, Joanne.
You go.
No, go, Katie. What do you remember?
No, you go first. No,
this is your show, babe. You need to talk.
I was just going to say that the thing with I Don't Know that's been quite interesting is that as much as obviously, you know, I don't find us so well for the fun and the energy, I Don't Know is the song that people talk to me about or contact me the most about. Because maybe the meaning of the song. And like I said, that was the last song I wrote for the Do Not Disturb album. And I'd lived a little by then. So if you think about it, Jackie came out in 98, Do Not Disturb dropped in 2001. So there was time and I actually had something real to say. And so I think that it's interesting, the one that was the most honest of the song that wasn't just fun and fiction and bubbles. Is a song that's resonated so much. That does mean a great deal.
I was going to say, it was a departure from what we knew the brand of Joanne as, you know, all the high energy pop. And at first I was like a little bit jarred. I was like, oh, this is really different. Like, but, you know, as you grew to like, you just grew to love it because it was just a really meaningful song. It had a lot of substance to it.
What I was going to say before is I just... deal. Remember, there was so much love for you, Joanne, at the time. I'd just moved to Melbourne around 98, 99, and all I was hearing about in those first 4 years, oh, there's this great new artist, Joanne. Oh, and she's a Melbourne girl. Oh, and she's local. And I think, our charts even still are usually so dominated by UK and US artists, and yet this homegrown talent was tearing up the charts and doing so well. And I just remember just in the club scene and dance scene and social scene in general, there was so much Aussie pride for your success. And I think that was so refreshing because often pop artists are dismissed or unfairly criticised. But what I remember at that time was just there was so much love for what you were doing and people were so proud of it.
That means a great deal. And you know what? It's the same for me when you girls came out. You know what I mean? And this is what I think is beautiful about our industry is that, you know, there really is an excitement for our peers. There really is a support for our peers. I had no idea that was going on, Katie. I didn't know that there was so much hype. I don't know if it's because I was just in it at the time.
Yeah.
It's certainly really, really humbling. But I know for me, even the same, you know, seeing, you know, Bardot perform and seeing you perform, oh my gosh, when you went solo and were doing your thing, I was like, yes! it's an amazing thing. And there's so much pride and so much support. And that's what people don't realise. You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, do you guys all hang out? And, you know, and you know, when you do shows or, you know, arias backstage, like that kind of thing, you know, it's interesting because I'm not really a fan of after parties. I don't really enjoy them much. But I will say that I love the connection with the artists because we're usually having a great time on the same page, having a laugh. Leave the execs to do what they do. But, you know, there's a real camaraderie. It's really, really lovely.
All right, I have a big question to ask both of you because you both performed here. What are your memories of Rumba? I'm gonna play my cards because I remember Rumba. I still, it was a long time ago. Oh my, I didn't realize how long ago it was. I was like, oh my God. I was looking through it. I'm like, okay, cool. And I was like, Joanne, yeah, I know Joanne. I like her songs. I watched your show at Rumba. Holy balls, woman. I have never seen someone deliver a live vocal and dance their ass off like you did. So much so that the very next morning at 9 a.m., I was like, I'm going. I've got to get it. I've got to have everything she has. It's happening. What is your remembrance of Rumba, that sweaty, sweaty day in Sydney?
To be honest, that's what I remember. I remember it being ridiculously hot. I remember the crowds being massive. I absolutely loved that show. That set was really, really fun. And I had a great time. You know, I toured with some amazing artists. I loved watching other people perform. That was the cool part. You got to watch all these artists perform, see them backstage, that kind of thing. And look, it was a very busy time for me. I'd done Rumba and I went straight off to tour and continue touring with Shaggy. So it was kind of like this bizarre year of just these amazing tours that I'd done. I think I'd done Destiny's Child, Rumba, Shaggy all in one year. And wow. I was that buzz. No one will ever understand that buzz of what it is like to perform a massive crowd. And realize, sadly for me, that all those times I watched Michael Jackson and I thought he was looking at me, he wasn't looking at me, he couldn't see me. So that's a sad reality that you finally figure out.
And Katie, you were there the next year with Disco Montego, right? We were in 2002.
Yeah, that's right. I think my memories of Rumba, so I sung on one of the we did like a charity single supporting Rumba one year, so I did that with Selwyn, Jeremy, Peter Mack. So that was really fun. I remember that. And similar to what Joanne said, you know, just the massive crowds, that very stereotypical performer audience dynamic where, you know, you tell them to clap their hands and they do, you wave your arm and they do, like anything you tell them to do, they will do. And you have, you know, up to 100,000 people at your command. It's quite incredible. But yeah, at that time with the Disco Montego crew, they were a sort of work hard, play hard people, and I wasn't any different. So it was a pretty wild ride.
So the memories are hazy, is what you're saying, Miss Underwood.
Yes. People will ask me, oh, do you remember this one, Jim? And I'm like, you know what? Once you've done 100,000, it's sort of they all blend into each other. And yeah, I couldn't tell you. The memory that I have in my head, I couldn't tell you if it was Adelaide, Melbourne or Sydney or somewhere else entirely. But, yeah, it was wild fun. But, look, on that wild note, I'm going to leave you, Joanne, in the capable hands of the boys. I am out. And I hope to see you out in real life in Melbourne sometime very, very soon.
I would absolutely love that. It's been beautiful seeing your lovely face. I can't wait to see you.
Take care, darling one.
Thanks, Katie.
Bye, Katie. All right, Joanne.
So we'll yeah, you're alone now. So what I remember of that day in Rumba was we got there in the morning and I think I went to the bathroom once the whole day. It was like I think it was mid 30 degrees. We stood in the same position for 18 and a half hours. Didn't eat, had very little water. We're like, we're watching everyone. I was like, okay, cool. It was, I think it's just such a shame that doesn't happen anymore. Like, it was such a great showcase for not only Australian acts, but international acts to come together. And there's nothing like that now in Australia. It's really sad, I think.
It wasn't it? And that's the thing is that I'm so blessed and I'm so thankful that I had an opportunity to experience that because you're right. I mean, your experience out the front was something that you're like, wow, you know, I haven't had anything like that since, you know, 18 hours. I mean, that's crazy. And I guess for us backstage to cross paths with certain artists, to have be able to have chats, you know, the backstage stories, oh my gosh, hilarious, you know. And that's the thing is that, you know, I was lucky in 2016, I was lucky that I got to do a tour with multiple acts again, which was great. I did a Venga Boys tour and it was me, Sonique, Tina Cousins, Wakefield, Crystal Waters and the Venga Boys. And that was the first taste I'd had since back then of doing something with several acts. And it's a beautiful dynamic because you get to sort of bounce off each other. Everyone does their thing and the crowd love it because they're like, yeah, man, you're just hitting me with hits. And, you know, it's a shame that we don't do more of it. Hopefully we'll be able to get back to something like that.
Fingers crossed. Because, you know,
maybe we could do a Joanne. Yeah, maybe we could do a Joanne Carbell like joint tour where you, Katie, and Belinda can go do like a pop hits like craziness. I have to go backwards though. We have to go backwards.
So you're trying to take Katie's manager's job now, Steve. Come on.
I'm just trying to do it. I'm trying to be everyone's manager. We have to go backwards and talk about your album, because when I was looking through the credits, a name popped up that I did not expect. Jay LaGaia?
Okay. Ah, yes. So Frank LaGaia, who is one of the members of Islander, is Jay's brother. So, yes, keep it in the family. So, yes, where Jay and Frank are brothers, so that's their connection.
But a lot of people don't think about music when they think about Jay, despite the fact that he's on Play School and he was singing, like, every day. Dude can sing. I've seen him sing. I've done a couple of shows with him for various performances where, like, I was actually a giant yellow robot. Yay. But... Dude can sing. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Very impressed.
He can sing. I mean, look, he was Mufasa in The Lion King. Yeah. So, you know, he's got some chops.
He's got some chops. Now, I want to go back to some more Joanne performances because I've been in a deep Joanne performance hole recently on YouTube. What are your reminiscences about Carols by Candlelight?
I've got some beautiful memories, actually. I remember Channel 9 speaking to my manager about Carols, and it was interesting because I think at the time I've got this vague memory of I wanted to do a serious song. I wanted to do a ballad because obviously I'm known for, you know, getting the crowd pumped. And so for me, I wanted to do something that was a departure from what I would normally do. And I remember, because I'd never done Carols before, I think the concern was, you know, Carols is so overwhelming. They said when you walk out there and you see that crowd and all those beautiful lights, and apparently it can be quite emotional for people the first time you do it. And so one of the concerns was, you know, if they give me this serious song and then I get overwhelmed. And, you know, in my head I'm like, I'm a professional, I can do this, you know. But what ended up happening was they had approached me about doing Mariah's All Christmas Is You. And I was fine with that because I'm like, hey, that's a cool jam. I can do that. So, look, I will say this.
It's such an easy song to sing. Hey, Joanne.
Oh, yeah.
Play Walk in the Park.
Mariah. Don't challenge me. But, you know, full orchestra is just exceptional. It's such a beautiful sound. It's a different feeling, really different. You know, I've done live bands, I've done everything, but the full orchestra feeling is quite beautiful. And I do remember before I went out on stage, Rhonda Birchmore pulled me aside and she said to me, let me know if you can see my daughter. She's wearing these ears, okay? And I'm like, okay. And I go, I'll let you know if I can see her. I think I'd gone out there, the strings start, it's this beautiful moment, and all I remember seeing was these the biggest ears I've ever seen, like these reindeer ears and this nose. And I just remember like wanting to giggle and be like, oh, there she is. But then I was like, okay, be serious, you know. But look, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Carols is a really lovely experience. any artists out there, if you ever get asked to do carols, do it, because it's a really, really beautiful, that orchestral feel. Yeah, can't go wrong.
I've got to say, you deserve so much credit, because that orchestra took off on you, girl. You were like, yeah, surfing the slow part, and then they just went boom, and you had no backing singers, you had nothing, you're doing every line, and that's a hard song to sing, and it's belting, and it's top of most people's register, and you're just going, but your breath control is exceptional, I must say. I was just like, wow, oh, not even a miss anything. I was like, girl, that's intense.
I mean, look, for me, I watch the footage now, and you know, the voice is a muscle. It really is. Yeah. Your voice does grow and develop. So I look at old performances and go, oh, shame, child. Like, you know, I look at it and I'm like, I should have more punch, you know, because my voice has fattened up and really grown over the years. So I listen to me doing that then and I'm like, oh, she's a bit weak, you know. If they opened my door and said, do it today, I'd be like, let me give it some grunt. Woohoo!
I don't think anyone could ever, accuse your voice of being weak, Joanne. I mean, come on. Let's be honest.
Look, I think it's just a fact. It's just fuller with age. And yep. more powerful with age, and there's a lot more kick and grunt in it now. So I hear my songs and hear a younger version of myself, if that makes sense.
But that's so great to have, because we were talking about before, it's that little time capsule of that time, like this was my like my early 20s, and you went through all this in your early 20s as well. Like it was crazy. Like you've got this little like whole life you've lived in your early 20s, and then you know, you get to go back and revisit it when you want to these days. And that's so cool. I don't remember really mine. Blessed. I was too drunk.
And I honestly take every opportunity now to be in the moment, because things do happen when you're young. Like I was saying earlier, it's you're in it, but you haven't been taught how to be present and to take the moments in. So you're so, at that age, you're so panicked. And look, it's a superficial industry. So you're panicked about how you look, what camera you're looking at. Oh my gosh, I better not forget this. And oh, there's a prop. Oh, I better not forget that. And oh, that's right, we've edited this. So, you know, I have to remember not to jump into a chorus. I need to jump into that. And your head is so full of stuff. And you've got so many people in your ear carrying on about, you know, don't stuff it up. But you don't even, you're enjoying it, but you're not present with it. And so I think that now I'm very fortunate that it's kind of like, okay, I'm a pro now. I know what I'm doing. Now I just go out there and have an absolute ball. And whatever the audience is giving me, I really feel it in my heart. You know, I feel it in every fiber of my body, because it's such an amazing feeling. I can't even tell you how trippy it is. I can't tell you how trippy it is to be a music lover myself, who's grown up obsessive about music. Like I feel you, Steve, with the whole cassette hitting record. Like that was me too. And I can't even say how it feels to know that, oh my gosh, I've contributed something, and how I feel about other artists, people are feeling that about me. Like it's a very weird and beautiful feeling. So I'm really glad that I've learned now to take it in. Like I'm so happy I can do that.
And I think that COVID's taught everyone that even more so now. We took being able to go out and see like a band or sit at a pub and watch a covers band for granted. And having live music slowly coming back is something that I think everyone's really looking forward to. Do you have any plans to get back on stage anytime soon, or are we just going to take it slowly, slowly?
I think for me, the remainder of 2021, I think is going to be just, I'm just going to roll it out. 2022, yes, absolutely. I it's been hard, you know, like, I mean, to have so many events constantly postponed and some of them are still yet to get confirmed. So I think that, to be fair, like Freedom Day for Melbourne today, it's a bit of a watch this space, not just here, but I think everywhere in the country. But I think that when it happens, it is going to feel incredible. You know, it's going to feel amazing.
And you have been keeping busy. You pop up everywhere. You're like a good memory that just pops up every now and then. You'll be on some radio station, be like, Jackie? Okay, amazing. I'll listen to that. But you and Katie do have another connection. You're both on Greg Gould's album, 1998.
Yes. Yes, we are. So, that was a beautiful project part of.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about working with Greg, because he's obviously come from that reality show, like Climate as well. We actually went to high school together. Same high school, not together. He's much younger than I am. But, yeah, your song on that's amazing. Oh, wow. Talk to us a little bit about that.
I met Greg back in 2016 and we became friends. We kept in contact and I have much respect for his talent. He's an incredible vocalist. And when, you know, he told me about what he was going to be doing with 1998 and, you know, asked me to be a part of it, of course, I was like, absolutely, you know, it was such a good cause for the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Wellbeing Centre here in Melbourne. And also I loved the idea of taking songs from 98 and putting our own spin on it. So Together Again by Janet Jackson was the song that we chose to do. We wanted to strip it back and just give it a whole different feeling. And I think it was interesting because the song meant different things to us. I mean, this original version of the song, I believe, you know, it was written for one of Janet's friends who I believe had passed from AIDS. And, you know, the words now mean obviously very different things to different people, but that unity. So the message of the song at the time, and Greg had recently lost his stepmother to cancer as well. So there was all these meanings that it was kind of like, I think we're meant to just give this song a go. So look, it was a beautiful experience. He recorded his vocals in Sydney. I did mine in Melbourne. Actually, the day that I did my vocals here in Melbourne, I actually had coffee with Katie. She had done the set for me, recording her parts for her track, and we'd sort of crossed paths there. So, yeah, it was a really nice experience, and it was the first time I'd recorded and released something in a very, very long time. So it was nice to kind of put something out there and to put something out there for a beautiful project, obviously.
Well, on that note, yeah. Joanne, Jojo, can you tell us, are you going to be recording anything else?
I can confirm yes. I can confirm that the creative gods have been, I'm not going to lie, they've been poking at me for quite a few years. I've been creative throughout this whole process. I've obviously been performing throughout this whole process in the last,
yeah.
I never stopped performing. But as far as writing and creating, I sort of would start, then I'd stop, then I'd start, then I'd stop. And I think what's interesting now is that I now am kind of like, there's just some things I have to put out there. And I think there's that feeling in my belly and I think it'd just be really cool just to share some music again. You know,
I think I'm both
definitely
going
to be working on it.
I think you'll have so much more to 100%. Say now as well. You've got this little, you know, you've got this little compartmentalized part of your 20s and you've had time to live a whole life and experience so much more. Your voice has changed, your mindset's changed. There's so much more to deliver. And I think that's why, especially both you and Katie and Bardo, it was such a moment in pop history, but such a moment in everyone's growing up. Like I remember this was like my late teens. So you guys, we're all adults now. We're all in the same boat. Like we're all in like, getting that midlife moment, and we want you kind of want to recapture that and which is why nostalgia is so big at the moment. I can my dream would be some big nostalgia tour with all the acts from the late 90s, 2000s getting together, doing a whip around Australia. It'd be amazing. But more Joanne, that's amazing stuff to hear. I can't wait. Can I make one request?
Yes.
I would love an acoustic version of I Don't Know. I don't know when you're going to put it out, but, you know, just to know, like, give us a ballad acoustic version of I Don't Know. I'll be a happy boy. I'll probably just weep and throw myself on the floor.
You know what? I can do that. I've actually performed a stripped back version where I did it the way I wanted it to be heard. Yeah. It was a lot darker and there were the moves. And it's very raw, very, very raw. So that is something I will definitely keep in mind. And, you know, it's going to be a really beautiful time. I think the benefit of age is that it's not always a bad thing. Like getting older is cool as. Like people just need to jump on that. It's not a bad thing. Getting older gives you the benefit of experience and not taking yourself so seriously. I look back at my young Joanne and just go, I wish you could have just not been so in your head, you know. Now it's kind of, and that's the way I look at songwriting now, is that sometimes I'm going to sit down and something serious and is going to come out of me, and other times something completely cheesy and fun is going to come out, and that's okay too. So you just shouldn't take yourself too seriously.
When you're saying, like, you know, how a song is produced, like with I Don't Know, like if you listen to those lyrics, they're very heavy. Like, you know, even that song by Kylie, Hand on Your Heart, it's actually if you listen to those lyrics, it's not a happy, upbeat song. It's actually really quite horrible. And then, like, I know a guy released a cover of that where he actually sang it, you know, with that tone there. And you're like, yeah, you really feel those lyrics. So I would love to have a new stripped back version of I Don't Know. I think you could kill it.
Look, not that we're very demanding,
Joanne. It looks like I have
Joanne.
To do it now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It looks like I have to do it.
We're coming to find you, Joanne.
You know what's interesting about Kylie? When you were talking about Kylie Minogue, the song that I always hear of hers where I'm like, I just want to hear a ballad of it is Never Too Late. Like a real soul. Like, because that song melodically is just beautiful. And it's like, ooh, I just want to strip it back and sing that. Because she's got some incredible songs. Melodically, they're really great. You could change the production on them 10 different ways and they're still going to be beautiful.
Yeah. Right. But we're not – all right, we can't talk about future because we might be spoiling some things. So we don't want to spoil some things. So,
and we might still be stuck at home.
We could be still stuck at home. You might have to do an online concert series, you know. So people can follow you on Instagram at Joanne Music for all of your like little updates and fun, saucy loveliness. It has been an absolute joy and pleasure. You are a ray of sunshine like I knew you would be. I have wanted to speak to you for ages, so this is so, so great that we actually got a chance to do it and Katie to jump on as well. Thank you for your time. We will look forward to more of you in the future.
Yeah, thank you, Joanne. Look, we're truly blessed to have you come and talk to us. Like, as we were saying, like, you know, you were such a big part of our teen years and our early 20s. And I think it's just really incredible that, like, we can all just come and chat together. Like, who would have thought, like, you know, Joanne, Katie Underwood just have a chat on a show. And I think it's just a beautiful thing.
My teenage self is dying a little bit. It's all right.
Well, if it means anything, you know, to you guys, you know, I guess speaking for myself, it means as much to me as it does to you guys. So I really appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit more about, you know, my life and the nostalgia and just to, you know, relive those memories. And thank you for your support. You know, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if beautiful people like you weren't enjoying the music and supporting it for so long. So thank you.
Thank you so much.